Personally, I believe this is a very important topic. Very. Very. Because we are challenged this time to be successful. And if somebody would tell me this are the steps you have to make in order to be successful, and if I really want to be successful, I would do them. Would I? And this is something that hurts me. Because we don't do it. We don't care. Today you will hear this conference, you will hear some steps as an invitation. I would call it even a call. It's a call for us to go and move in the right direction. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege for us to come to you last day of the year, thinking about what we should do next year, what we should decide, how we should decide, how we can make wise decisions. Lord, we want to be successful, but we cannot be without you. That's why we want to look at you today and see how you did it. And we want to learn from it. And please bless everyone that is here in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So, we will talk about a little psychological terms, modern psychology. We don't find this terminology in the Bible. But I believe it is in the Bible. But it's not the way they spoke at those times. And we will talk about emotional intelligence. And when I got introduced to this, I found it all over in the Bible. And I found it as it pointed out so strongly that it hits me. It hits me. It is such an important topic, I believe. And we will talk about a certain direction of emotional intelligence. And this is confidence. How to gain confidence. I'll explain why. And as I said, I want to point out in a way that EQ or EI, but I use EQ. I'm used to EQ, but in the internet you also find it with EI, is a key factor. It's very important. Very, very important. Okay. I believe that every one of you, including me, we mean well. We mean really well. We want to do, in a way, best. But I believe now that this is not enough. We have to learn. We have to learn. You know, Paul, when he was Saul, he went, after he became Paul, converted, he went to the desert. For how long? 3 years. I mean, you know Paul. You know, it's turning, it's going. I mean, he's a doer, he's a maker, he's a decider. Him being in the desert for one day, after being very disciplined, he would take out his iPhone and then he would call and say, please pick me up. Wouldn't we? He stays there for 3 years, thinking and thinking. And we need also to think. You think to reflect more. We mean well, but it's not enough. Look around. It's not enough. It's not enough. How can we build meaningful relationships? We know how to build relationships, but meaningful relationships. How can we do that in long-term contacts, with long-term contacts? This is challenging. With short-term, some people are very talented in doing it. Some people can learn it. We can learn it also in short. Okay? And how did Jesus do it? This is the question. How? And you probably are all familiar with this very, very famous quote. For me, very strong quote. Christ's method alone will give you true success in reaching people. This is the theme of this conference. This is, I love it. It's really, really, really deep. We have to be critical with ourselves now. During his ministry, Jesus devoted more time to healing the sick than to preaching them. Wherever he went, the tidings of his mercy preceded him. Where he had passed, the object of his compassion were rejoicing in health and making trial of their newfound powers. Now, I have to ask the question, when do we heal? How do you heal? How do you heal? I mean, we all say we are followers of Jesus. Where do you heal? My daughter heals. She has a health center in Switzerland. You see a picture right here. It's on map. They heal people. They experience miracles because they follow the health message. And they instruct the people to follow health messages, and if they do it, they get healed. One person, you know, the doctor said, cut your leg. No other way. She said, without my leg? She went to Zonmat and they treated her as they know our health message, and she could keep her leg after 3 weeks. Could go home. I met her 2 months ago. Happy lady. You know, there are so many things we could do. So the question is, where do you heal? How do you heal? Another challenge. I challenge you today a little. Love your neighbor as yourself is the highest, the most important law, okay? In Mark. Somebody can say, if I have to love other people the way I love myself, that's easy. Because I do not love myself. So I do not have to love the other people as much. Some people could use this excuse. Listen to what Jesus means. Jesus means, love one another just as I have loved you. This is what it means. This is what it means. And we think, no problem. So we are really, really challenged. Really challenged. Now, this sentence here continues with seven steps. Seven C's. We will see in this C's now. Now we go more into details. It says, now comes the success key, okay? The success key. Something we have to know by heart. The Savior mingled with man. Now, question, when, how do you and your church mingle with the people? Do you make a difference with you, your family, your church, where you are? Would people around you think, if you would quit and leave, would they think, We miss something? Do you make a difference? Do we make a difference? Do we mingle with them? Do we show them that we like them? That we like to be with them? Do we really want to be with them? Do we? And then show sympathy for them? Invite them, for instance? When did you invite your neighbors last? Do we minister to their needs? Are we interested in the needs of them? Then win their confidence. And now it comes. And when we have the confidence, when through this relationship we have the blessing of having the confidence, then we beg them. We do not manipulate them. We beg them. We invite them. We invite them to go to heaven. To come to heaven with us. Now the seven C's. Mingle means having contact. Did Jesus have contact? Did he stay in the synagogue all the time? Did he stay in the house somewhere all the time? Where did he go? Oh, he mingled all the time, didn't he? Hey, he knew he had 3 years. And he knew, in these 3 years, I have to just visit everybody. So he really went out of the house to the people, children. Did he concern? Did he want to have best, decide the best for them? Did he show sympathy? Jesus cried how many times in the Bible? Twice. He cried once. He cried once about all of us, about his people. And then he cried a second time. Lazarus. Yes. So he had a lot of compassion. We'll come to that later. He committed to minister to our needs. Just thinking about what it means to come down to our level. Here, to come down to our level is just really the biggest ministry ever in history. Always ministering to the need. And then he won their confidence. And when they love him and he loves them and they show it and realize it, then it happens. Then they come close. And then they want to hear the calling. They are ready for the calling for them to follow. To follow. These are the seven steps, the seven C's. This is the message for today. Now we want to look at this from different angles. We talk a little from the confidence part, because this is the confidence. Other people talk about this part, other seminars you will hear talk about this part here. Okay? Today we look from the confidence part in this seminar. But all the seminars are laid out in this concept. The whole convention is wonderful. So, confidence, you talk about confidence. Now, where does confidence come from? How does it show? You can help me a little. How does confidence show? How do you...
Trust.
Yeah, confidence is trust. More? Who of you came with airplane? Quite a few. Did you have confidence and trust and faith? Did you? A lot, huh? After the news we heard? Huh?
So we have confidence in human technique. I work for Swissair. I feel very comfortable with flying with Swissair because I know them. So when we know people, it helps us. When we know the systems, the way that people work, we have confidence. We develop confidence. Now, what is confidence really? We heard trust. We heard believing. Being able to depend on somebody. It's very challenging moments, confidence. In a marriage, it can mean that the partner gives the spouse the chance to hit him, but because he has confidence or she has confidence in him or her, he won't do it. This is how confidence builds up. If we help each other, if we promote each other, if we lift up each other, as Hebrews 10:24 says, if we promote each other's works, love works. I don't know how it is in English. Okay. How does confidence build up? Experiences. Why is confidence important? What would you say? Why is confidence important? Which attitude develops confidence? Now, I ask you many questions. Let me give you a simple answer, okay? Before here, this is the answer. This is an answer. It's not a whole answer. There are more answers, but this is the answer to this here. If you want to have confidence, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. If you want to win confidence of your neighbors, this is what you have to do. This is what Jesus did. If you want to win confidence, this is what Jesus did. This is the key. This is the success key. This picture reminds me of something. I was in Wildwood visiting my son, giving seminars. And one time I went to the seminar and I met a physician and neurologist. He was the neighbor of my son. And he came home and he was an old one, old gentleman, 80 years old about. 1 year later he died. So he came there. Mr. Baldwin, by the way. And I thought, man, he's coming. My way. Chance. I ask him a question. And I come and say, "Hi, Mr. Baldwin." "Hi." He's there, always friendly. Always open. "Mr. Baldwin, I have a question." He says, okay. And I say, "Mr. Baldwin, what would you do if you were the enemy of mankind?" I didn't want to say Satan. Be polite. So I asked him, "What would you do if you were the enemy of mankind?" Hey, he immediately said, "I would destroy their frontal lobe." Thank you, Mr. Baldwin. Thank you. I had to teach. I had to go. But I never forgot this because I wanted to find out, what does he really mean? What is it all about, frontal lobe? I found out that, spiritually spoken, the frontal lobe is the most holy place in our body. It's the most holy place. So, frontal lobe is important. Maybe it is good for us to know what builds up a frontal lobe and what destroys a frontal lobe. And when you find out, and the more you find out, you will see that our health message is exactly the key to build up a frontal lobe, a good frontal lobe.
When you know about emotional intelligence, you will find out that the frontal lobe is the place to build up, to get strong. Okay? We have different kind of intelligence. Everything is placed in here somewhere. But what we really need is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, in simplified words, is the frontal lobe controls the rest. Okay? Strong frontal lobe controlling the rest. This is all about. If we weaken the frontal lobe, we will lose it. We are in danger. We are in danger. Why? Because the enemy and the whole society, as you might realize, the whole society tries to catch you through the emotions. In Switzerland, we buy 85% irrational. We buy 85% irrational feelings, based on feelings. It's bad. So feelings are dominant. Feelings are dominant for many people, and we need to strengthen the frontal lobe. Now if you compare IQ with EQ, then you see this picture wants to tell you that EQ is very, very, very big in you. Very big. A very big part. It's a very big part. You can be successful with IQ. You can be. You can even earn money on IQ. But if you have EQ, if you are strong in EQ, you will be successful anyway, anytime. This is, in businesses today, they look for IQ a lot, by the way. They found out in the meantime. Now, let's define EQ a little better. EQ is an ability to build meaningful relationships. So, everybody here who is not married yet might have a big year now because EQ is very, very important for your relationship. We'll come to that a little later. If you want to work successfully in a team, if you want to be able to resolve conflicts, you need EQ. If you have high EQ, you will treat people differently. I mean, different in the sense that with real respect, like Jesus did. You will understand your own strengths and weaknesses. You do not have just weaknesses, you know. You also have strengths. We will learn to see oneself not only just in our eyes, but in God's eyes. How does God see you? This is how emotional intelligence develops. We will also see the needs of others before our own, even. We will be able to read situations. It's not always so easy to read situations and even somebody's body language. And we will be wise and masterful emotionally and in relationships. Okay, these are the abilities, and the knowledge is thinking is we have to learn how we come across to others. We know what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and when not to say it. This is emotional intelligence. When we have to be quiet and just listen. Realizing we cannot just always talk and the other one has to take care of whatever comes out. We are responsible for it. Okay. To sum it up a little, the goal of EQ is our quality of relationships. Now look at your relationships. If you have a high quality of relationships, you have high EQ. If you have
big challenges, you know, this is a place to grow. It's a place to grow. We all should actually have the idea to grow there. The goal is to become mature, to learn, to be in balance. Do you remember somebody who is in balance? A person who is in balance? Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. And it's social competence. It's knowing how to handle people, like Jesus did. So, what do you think we need? Pride or humility? In order to proceed in these steps, you know. You see, pride is the enemy of EQ. Pride is the enemy of being a missionary, a real one. So, you know, we all have problems with here. We always have challenges with this here. This is. We also have to learn to be a little more critical sometimes, in a positive sense. Critical in the sense that we want to find a way to do it better, to get better, to honor Christ more in our lives. And we have to make, and you have to make, we have to make good decisions. You have to think about, now this is 31st of December, this is the time to think about, now, hey, what's going on in my life? This is time for reflection. Hey, where am I going? I'm very happy that you came here to take this time to think about it. You know? And willpower, if you do have a weak will, then you can ask God, you know the text. Ask God to give you and strengthen your will. And you know, the willpower is also a gift from the Holy Spirit, Galatians 2:20. So he was waiting for us to give it to us. Yeah. So when you want to be a blessing to your family, to your spouse, to your church, to your work people, this is EQ that is very important for us. When we work, EQ has statistically 85% success in your success. So the more EQ you have, the better your success will be, and the more people will like you. Now, EQ is something that is not inherited, it's learned, mainly. Yeah. They always fight over it a little, but... And it's easier to improve EQ than IQ. You know, you can... IQ, you learn up to 20 years. Who is over 20? Oh, this is a bad question, huh? Who is younger than 20? I have to ask. Younger than 20, anybody? Oh, you guys have still a chance. Okay. Now you can still develop IQ. And we are lost here, okay? The older ones. We have to deal with IQ now. But the good news is EQ can be improved throughout life. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us.
Louder.
Ah, okay. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and it never stops. But I have to tell you something. Who is parent here? Not too many. Okay. Now, if you have children under 7 years, 1 to 6, these are the moments where EQ is developed, mainly. Like I have a granddaughter now, 2.5 years old. And I do a lot of challenging games with her to develop her EQ. So the first 6 years are very important for development. So,
For us, the question is, in reflection, is it somebody that I always hurt? Oh, with this person, I just don't get along. Do I have maybe blind spots? Am I maybe not sensitive enough to other people? Is it okay? Ask your spouse, is it okay? My communication. Find out. How much from 1 to 10 is your capability to love? How much can you love? Really? What love really is? And are you loved also? This is challenging questions a little, huh? Not so easy. Okay. Now, when we say, when you make the decision, I want to develop my emotional intelligence, that would mean for you that you start working, losing fear. You would lose your anger, and you would lose your awkward reactions that really don't have to do anything with Jesus. You will lose it. And when you lose it, this is developing, coming closer to Jesus, meaning developing emotional intelligence. You will be able to handle stress much better, and also conflicts. You will progress in your life goals. You will be a better friend. You will be a better leader, even in the church, wherever your leading qualities are needed. You will be a better spouse and you will be a better parent if you take this call serious. Now, you might know this book here.
Yes.
From who?
Neil
Nedley. Yes. Very interesting book. So, in the Adventist in Adventist Church, we also talk about this topic more and more. It's coming actually from the States, huh? We start to think clearer, we start to communicate more effectively, we are able to unite groups, people, reduce polarizing, strong statements that are not necessary. We lose it, we lose those things, and we have the goal more to unite and but not compromising. You will keep integrity. Jesus always kept integrity. Jesus could say, sorry, no, not with me, So he can put limits, set limits. And we will be very strongly motivated. Emotions, motivation, it's very strong, goes together. Which means we will have developed a strong faith and the ability to trust God. Do you think we need this? Do you think we need this in the end time? Oh man. So the question is, do we want to be able to have deep relationships? Do we want to have a mature family, maybe? Do we want to be able to work in a good team? Do we want to help people to get to better health? Do we want to help people to have a better relationship with each other and with God? This is what missionaries want to do. Do we want to be happy ourselves? This is what most people in the world want to be happy. Happy. Well, this is one key how to be also happy by bringing people to God. Now, remember, do the same good things for others that you would want them to do for you. It's written where? Golden rule, huh? You don't have to learn Bible texts, You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Stands in
Mark 12, 1, 2, 3, 1. Then we have love one another just as I have loved you. This is the same actually. Yeah. Huh? But it's Jesus' version in a way. So, this is the direction where we want to go. Now, when you look up emotional intelligence, there's some literature about this. Emotional intelligence is put up into five steps. Now, if you want to understand emotional intelligence, you have to understand these five steps. This is very important. If you want to develop emotional intelligence in you or with other people, you have to know this here. Now, these five steps here. Emotional self-awareness. When I have Amina with me, the little girl, granddaughter, when she's crying, then I tell her, she's sad, she's crying. If I am sad, if I am tired, if I have feelings, sometimes, I remember, I name my feelings. So she knows and finds out about feelings, about this world of these feelings. This will help her later on to regulate them. If I'm not aware of my feelings, I'm lost to my feelings. So I have to find out what's going on here. What's going on? So I can learn to regulate. Now, regulate feelings. Did anybody hear from you hear something about marshmallow test? Who knows? Okay. Now, we do not have time to... I have a movie here, but I better talk about it. Four-year-old. And you put this four-year-old into a room all by her or himself. And you give him something that this person, this little boy, for instance, likes. Like a marshmallow. You say, dear Peter, this marshmallow, you can eat now, but if you wait sometimes and you don't tell him how long, because he doesn't understand time yet so much, so if you wait until I come again, I'll give you a second one. And most children want to have the second one, right? I mean, they want to have, because they like marshmallows, let's say, huh? Okay? Then you disappear and you let this child there with this marshmallow. And you see children, you know, they do all kinds. You can, in the internet, you see all these children, 4-year-old children, they do all kinds with this marshmallow. I mean, everything. There was even a girl that made a hole and emptied everything so it looked still, you know, I mean, every tricks. They do. It's very fun. It's very nice to see. Now, they did this in Stanford University in the States, and finding out what it means if a 4-year-old has the self-regulation and can control the feelings for 15 minutes. The desire can control the desire. Can you control the desire? Can we? Second level. Can we regulate our feelings? Can we wait for a success? They found out that one out of three could wait.
two couldn't.
So then they found out 10 years later, 15 years later, what happened with these ones? They found out all 100% of those children were humanly spoken successful. Whatever they did well. Because they could control their feelings. Some of these here were also successful. Some. And he said, the lady that emptied the marshmallow, don't put her into a bank. Don't let her work in a bank. Okay? Honey, please, come in. It's my honey. She's the one that corrects my English. Sometimes. Okay, and then we have self-motivation. Who of you likes to learn? Everybody who likes to learn has a high self-motivation. It's high here. You can go into the internet, do ask for EQ tests, and then you can make a test. And you can find out, I'm strong here. Usually people are strong here, and then here, and then it loses them. And here, down here, weak. But here, more strong, because this is where we start and this is where we end here. Social competence. Motivation. People who have high motivation developed, they have a strong faith. They are able to have a strong faith. They are able to trust. They are optimists. Then, empathy. Ladies, never marry a man who does not have good empathy, because he will not understand you. Empathy means I am interested in understanding my wife. I want to know what's going on. Very, very important. Very, very important. Now, compassion is a step further. And empathy means understanding, trying to understand somebody and understanding, but compassion means out of this understanding, I want to help this person. And when you Google compassion in the Bible, I found it 50 times. Compassion as a word, it depends on the translation though, it's in the Bible. Compassion is a very important statement. Jesus, we read a quote, Jesus has compassion. Very important. This is very important. This all this year makes us social competence, makes us being able to be an important part in the world. That people miss you. Because you are important. I mean, everybody misses Jesus. You know, because there's really something missing here if he's not around. That's where we want to go. Now, this is a movie from the Marshmallow Test. I want to show you another movie. So we will talk now about the fifth level, the highest level of social of EQ. This is social competence. If you can organize groups in the church, in the Pathfinder, wherever you work, if you can organize groups, you have social competence developed. If you can direct groups, activities, organize them, decide, if you can make decisions here, smart decisions, you have already developed this part. If you can be a leader, if you can take responsibility, that's why it's good to have little children's responsibility, like having a little animal, you know, dealing with responsibility, making the bed and everything nice and so. Then, if you can have influence on people's feelings, like a group, you have a group in front of you and you can make them sad or happy, or, you know, this is also something that has to do with EQ. But if I am a troublemaker all the time, if I am a chameleon, social chameleon, which means I'm always like the other ones, wherever they are, I'm there the way they are, and I'm there the way they are, and I'm just, you know, this is a problem. Then we have a problem with EQ. If we can negotiate, if we can communicate solutions, if we can prevent, see problems ahead, solve conflicts, if we can develop personal connections, we have
EQ.
Recognize and understand feelings, motives, and concern of others. If we have a capacity or the skill to analyze socially, this is very important. Can you imagine how much this social competence has influence on your marriage, on your workplace, on your mission field, on your church, on your fellowship, just the church, you know, how would your church look like if everybody would be high emotional intelligence? You know, and then we come to a very important point, you know, our society. There are people out there, they need you. There are people out there, they need you. They need us. So this is our challenge here, that for the end time, we are ready to do our job, our work. Maybe some of you might be interested in what influences your EQ. Some genetic here is possible. We heard up to 6 years old is the major influence on your EQ. That if you live with parents that have a high EQ, it will be an advantage, of course. But also your physical conditions have an EQ. Health message. As soon as you have follow the health message, then you will develop high EQ. It's much easier. Your faith, your culture, your traditions, your weather even has an influence on the EQ. So, this is... Then... Our value system we have inside also has an influence on our decisions, as you can imagine. The way we think about problems. Problem, I do not like to say problem. I made myself to say, instead of problems, I say challenge. What's the difference between problem and challenge?
States
and right. When you say challenge, you think of a solution, right? Yes. It's a challenge. I want to do the same thing. If you say challenge to a problem, you will think different about the problem. If you say, oh, this is a problem, this is like a mountain, you know, you don't want to see over it. But if you say challenge, something to solve by God's grace. Again, frontal lobe. I want to just repeat this. Frontal lobe is the place where our spirituality, morality, our will is developed. You can destroy it with different things like these processes in the frontal lobe, neurons. You can destroy it with smoking and bad food and bad air and TV and a lot of media, the brains in the young children get distorted. Because of media use. Very, very dangerous, very, very difficult. Problems with moral principles, problem with frontal lobe. Lack of foresight, loss of empathy, frontal lobe. And all this, it's just, you know, it's full of problems in the frontal lobe. We're challenged to develop a good, good frontal lobe. This is high volume coming towards us. And we, as Jesus would, we have to heal them. We have to have solutions to help depressed people. I thought, shall I show you this? I want to show it. because I think it's very important. Make a decision for a change. When we want to grow, we have to make a decision. This is the time,
31st of December. Make a decision. Maybe Jeremy, our son, will ask you tonight, what would you want to decide for now?
Think about it. What do you want? Make a decision for a change. What do I want to change? And then when we have this change, we work together with God. This is very, very important. When we have social challenges, remember, challenges? When we have social challenges, do not talk on the character of them. You are just a whatever. Don't. Everything on the information level. It's a little easier for the gentlemen to do this than for the ladies.
Sorry.
Because ladies live in a relationship level and they like to work on that too. And they're very professional there. They're very good. But when we have challenges, certain challenges, always use the information level. Ladies,
if you have a friend, try to experience this. Make an experiment and try to talk on the information level to the husband. He will listen to you.
Okay. Be aware of fear and find truth about fear. Always when I do this, what is it? Truth will set you free. John 8:32. Truth will set you free. Find the truth about things. Find out, where do I come from? Who am I? What happened with me? I want to know. This will set you free.
Show empathy. Try to understand.
Calm down. Terry and me, we are both hot-blooded. Can I say that? Hot-blooded, you know? And we made the decision to tell each other when the other one is a little high up. And we decided to say CD. And she says to me, CD, and I knew it means calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. I sometimes also say to her, maybe, huh? Calm down. By the way, why does it work? As soon as she tells me CD, it happens to me that I'm calmed down. The reason is because when I am hot, then my feelings are working. As soon as she says CD, I come into the frontal lobe, because frontal lobe is the place where I think about something. So when you are happy, when somebody is happy, don't tell him you are happy, because then you take all the feelings away and put in the frontal lobe, and the happy feeling is gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody is depressed or somebody is in the feelings, lives in the feelings, try to bring this person into the frontal lobe. See, this is what therapy. What happens in therapy, they bring the cognitive behavioral therapy, they bring people to the frontal lobe activities. But do not walk around that way, okay? Do not. This is enemy's game going on now, very, very high. So, to sum this part up, your success will not depend so much upon your knowledge. Whatever school you did, it's good to have schools, good schools. Paul was in the desert for 3 years. Ellen White calls it university. He was in the university for 3 years, and it was not enough for him yet, by the way. We have to go to the university, but this is important. But what we have to learn is the ability to find our way to the suggestion, to the
say.
To the heart. This is what we have to learn. This is where Jesus was excellent. Now, he could bring somebody in a half an hour about from a person that has no honor and is lost to a big missionary. Jacob's well. To a big missionary. She could reach everybody in the town in a half an hour. About, you know, maybe in less. So this is the point here. Now I want to show you a movie now that touched me a lot. It does not say much. It does not say much, but it says much. Tells me much. And I want to give you the invitation to look at this in Jesus' eyes. How does Jesus look at people? This morning I went to from the hotel over here. Not many people came across. And I saw somebody coming, you know, early in the morning, you know. And I thought, why not say hello? I said, good morning. What happened? Good morning was the answer. And this was a lady. Then the gentleman comes, I think, well, I'll try again. And he comes on the bicycle. And then I say, good morning. And then he says, good morning. And you know, it's cheap. It doesn't cost anything. You know? How can we go with people with Jesus' eyes? Did you hear? Did you see it? Hear what they hear. See what they see. And there was another one. Feel what they feel. See, this is Jesus, huh? He can read people. And we have to develop this. We have to get strong in this. We have to learn to go over the limits. We should not be content so easily with us. He wants more. He gives us more. He wants to give us more. Did Jesus have the ability to build meaningful relationships? You answer. Was he able to work in a team and resolve conflicts? Did he get along with others and treat them with respect? Even Pharisees? Did he put the needs of others before his own? Could he read situations? Was he wise and masterful emotionally in relationship? Was he master of circumstances? This is where God wants to bring us. This is where he wants us to educate, that we are master of circumstances. Did he know how he came across to other people? Did he know what to say, how to say it, when to say it and when not? Did he know when to be quiet and just listen? Did he recognize the needs of other people? Did he know how to really help the other people? Sometimes tough love. Did he know how to lead and guide? We need people like Jesus here. And when he says the great outpouring of the Spirit of God, which lightens the world, the whole world, with his glory, will not come until, and now listen, until we have an enlightened people. We need an enlightened people. We have to enlighten, be enlightened. And then, people that know by experience what it means to be laborers together with God, that know how to work together with God. We need enlightened people. We need you. We need each other. We need
to work together, to be strong. We need to use our phones the right way. Prayer. We have to realize that we can expand our horizon. God wants us to know more. He wants to give us more. There is more. There is more in our brain than we have, than we think we have. There is more. He wants to expand it. And I want to close with the most devoted disciple. This fascinates me. I heard a sermon about this most devoted disciple from Doug Batchelor. Who is the most devoted disciple? What would you guess? John? John? Yeah? Could be John? Could be? Who? Huh? Mary Magdalene? Right. Now, sure, seeing this picture here helps us. Now, who is she? Who is she? Now, she must be, she came from Magdala. You could say today Las Vegas. He compares it with Las Vegas. It's a very bad place. Very bad place. She must have had bad parents, I believe. She must have had bad parents. Bad father, bad mother, that were not able to give her a certain self-value. Understand? That made her hate herself so much that she was able to put money above relationships. Now, she was fallen so much down, so far down, that the Bible says that she had 7 demons. And for me, I imagine her demons were, for instance, low self-esteem, self-hatred. She hated herself. She couldn't look. She'd look into the mirror. Even though she wasn't, she might. She probably was beautiful in a way. But she hated herself. Minority complex. Maybe she had this pride in a way that compensates pride. Maybe she had money as her most important thing. Maybe she had a problem with lying. You know, all these bad things that she had to overcome. And within, let's say, 10 minutes from life, she went to death. Within 10 minutes. Now, they stone me. She could have run away, or she could have worked something, but she probably felt guilty enough to just give in. I'm dying now. And Jesus, now we see Jesus with his high EQ. With his high EQ, he could read the situation. And he could not only read her, he could read all the other people. And he did just the right thing to give her the message that God loves you. Which made her change her life, realizing God loves me even though I'm a very bad sinner. Second time, Jesus meets her. It does not necessarily be the second time, but he meets her when Lazarus died. And this is the second time when he cried. She made him cry. She made him cry. You can make Jesus cry. Realize? When? Where did Mary Magdalene meet Jesus always? Where? What is typical for Mary to be when she meets Jesus?
At his feet.
At his feet. She meets Jesus at his feet. Where do we meet Jesus? She does not take into consideration when we talk about Jesus. She does not consider the opinion of whoever. She does things that nobody else would do because Jesus helped her. Jesus freed her from big inside problems, from feelings. She listened to the Holy Spirit and did things that nobody else would do. And Jesus always protects her. Always protects her. Always. She was there stayed there when almost everybody left. She stayed there. Where? It says that she organized him coming to the grave. So that she was helping. She was organizing. And then, climax. Now, we have to realize that Jesus takes you serious. That serious. He took her so much serious. In this relationship. So much serious. That Jesus, after being resurrected, where would you expect Jesus to go after being resurrected? Where? Tell me. To heaven, to his Father. After putting his sheets very nicely together, because this is his character, very nice, everything very nice. I would expect him to go to his Father. Now, if he does not want to go to his Father, I would suggest him to go to Herodias. To the Pharisees, somewhere. To show. That's my suggestion. No. Jesus waits. Waits for what? Wait for what? He's waiting. He was waiting for who? For her. Waiting and waiting. Him, the master of the universe, waiting for somebody who has compassion for him. Isn't that something? He did not wait for Peter. He did not wait for John. He did not. He waited for her. Isn't that something? Isn't that showing us that Jesus might be waiting for us for you. Let's go back to the beginning. Now, fishing with Jesus. His method will give us success. His method in reaching people. If we want to reach people, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? We have to think about it. You have to think about it. What does it mean for you to mingle with people? Are you strong enough to mingle with people? Do you have your calling inside? Do you have your Mary Magdalene inside to mingle with people and bring them to Him? Are we willing to want the best for these people out there where we meet them? Do we want to show sympathy for these people out there, like Jesus did? If I have a problem with somebody, why do I not choose God's eyes to see this person? I can even learn to love enemies that way. This way it's not possible, maybe, but this way it's possible. He makes it possible for us. Do you realize that everybody has needs, that has problems in maybe going to the hospital, have problems with business, have problems with relationship. All people have problems, as we saw in the movie. Everybody. Everybody has a history. Everybody. Everybody has needs. You have needs. The church has needs. But outside the church, people have also needs. Everybody has needs. You know what? You have talents. You got one or two or five talents. The church is full of talents. Now, imagine if we would find out the talents and find out the needs of the people. If we would serve the needs of the people with our talents, at least some of it, what would happen? Wouldn't we suddenly like to be missionaries? Because we could use our talents. God gave us that. He said, we are responsible for the talents. Double it. I'll help you. And we would, as church, minister to the needs of the people. Just think about it. What would happen if we would do it? If we would take our people around us serious? Wouldn't that be nice? Minister to the needs. And as soon as we do these steps, we will win confidence to the people. And then they will listen to us. And then you can invite them. You can invite them for a concert you have. You can invite them for an event, celebration, a movie, or whatever you offer. Maybe even a Daniel seminar. A relations seminar. All these seminars, before you invite them, before you bait them, think about what to do. Do not just work with cold contacts. We always ask for cold contacts because we do not have warm contacts. Work to develop warm contacts that God can use His warm contacts, because you develop, by His grace, confidence. And then suddenly it happens. You will be surprised. We will be challenged. And we will do mission the right way. And it will happen that we will, in Isaiah 58:8, when we do it the correct way, we will heal fast. We will heal fast. The
church will heal fast, and it will happen very fast in the end time. And we want to be part of it.
And this is the call for us. Follow me. God invites us to follow Him. Can I ask you to stand up? Will you pray with us, please? Please, let's stand up.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this important topic that we have been hearing about tonight. And Lord, we ask that you will help us to improve in this area of emotional intelligence, and that we should apply these principles that we have heard about with your grace, so we can share the gospel in the right way, the way that you did. You build confidence in the people, and then you ask them to come and follow you. Mm-hmm. And that is the model that we would like to follow as well. We thank you that you also will help us to learn more about these topics in the coming presentations. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.